Welcome back to Blue Skies and Green Pastures. I'm your host, Paula Adams. Today we're going to talk about a topic that is not very hot. In fact, it's so cold that when I looked on Pew Research, I couldn't even find a study using this term. And what term is that? Evangelism. I found some studies about evangelicalism, but not evangelism. So then I went back to Google and I found some better information on Barna.com, which is another research organization that studies the church and what's happening in the church. But even this information is from 2019. So it seems like the topic is kind of cold right now. I'll just tell you some of the things I found on Google. So I typed in sharing your faith about Jesus. And then when I used those terms, I did find some blogs and some very Christian, Crossway, Focus on the Family, LearnReligions.com, some videos, Harvest.org, Dare to Share Ministries, There are people that are talking about this, but not the right people. and then if I click on the news tab on Google for sharing your faith about Jesus, the first one is Calvary Chapel, and the second one is a Mormon article. And then we have the Christian Post, which is not a good website. And All Israel News, The Catholic Reporter, The Alabama Baptist. Okay, so those are the top hits. There's some of us out there that are still, are still looking into this. But overall, it is a very unpopular thing to do. So I was really happy this weekend when our preacher started talking about evangelism and just sharing the gospel. So I decided to look back through some of my blogs because this is something that I write about fairly, regularly on my blog, blueskiesandgreenpastures.com. And I found a post in my draft folder that I thought I had already posted this, so I'm not really sure why it was in there, but I wrote it in March 22. And the title of it is Respecting Others by Sharing Your Faith in Jesus. Okay, so I started reading through it and then I decided, you know what? I need to do a lot of editing. So I edited it. And now I'm going to use this blog post for this this podcast. But I just thought it was really interesting when I went to the internet to see what was being said about evangelism and discovered that, it's like people have moved on. And I did find the actual article that the preacher was talking about from Barna, where he was talking about 47% of the millennials stated in a survey that they thought it was wrong to share the gospel with other people in hopes that they would change their beliefs. So I think that proves just how effective cancel culture has been at silencing Christians, which I wrote about that in 2021, actually it was right around Easter time, I wrote a blog called Have You Been Silent for Fear of Being Canceled? And I shared this poem. First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. And this was written by Martin Niemöller, who lived in the early, he was born in 1892, died in 1984, so long life. And he was a German Lutheran pastor. And the poem was written about the Nazis. Hitler was a fascist, and he used propaganda and deceit to gain favor with certain groups so he could get into power. And this same exact propaganda and lies is being used very effectively by the woke movement right now. And what they have done is silenced Christians because, and I would say, I'm going to explain what I mean by Christians in just a minute. So I say, I wrote a little poem here, and I haven't even like reread this until right now. So it says, first, they silenced those who wanted to do business according to their religious beliefs, and I did not speak out because I did not have a business, and I assumed that this did not affect me. Then they silenced the ones who wanted to keep their Second Amendment rights, and I did not speak out because I did not own any guns, and I thought the government would protect me. Then they silenced those who questioned vaccine safety, and I did not speak out because I trusted the doctors would do the right thing. Then they silenced those who questioned LGBT sex ed in elementary school, and I did not speak out because I had no children in elementary school, and I assumed the schools cared about children. Then they silenced the ones who questioned the climate agenda, and I did not speak out because they said it was proven, and I trusted the scientist. Then they silenced parents who wanted to teach their religious beliefs to their children and take them to church and teach them about sin and the gospel and the word of God. And I spoke out, but it was too late because they were already in charge. Then they took away my freedom to question them by making it a hate crime, and there was silence all around. So I think the fact that evangelism has basically been canceled shows just how powerful the past few years have been at getting people to keep their mouths shut. And this is really scary and sad because that is exactly what Jesus told us was going to happen. So how did this happen? Well, I think it happened for several reasons, but the most important one is people who say that they're Christians really don't know what that means. They really do not understand what it means to believe in Jesus. They don't know what they believe in, and they aren't changed by it. It hasn't changed they're still afraid of the world. They're afraid that the world is going to hurt them. They're afraid of being disapproved of. They're afraid of being persecuted. They're afraid of not being popular. So in other words, those things are more important to them than their faith. And that shows that their faith isn't real. Because if they really understood what they claim they're putting their faith in, then they wouldn't be afraid of those things. Because our God is sovereign over everything. And that's an essential part of the Christian faith. So another thing that happened, another article that I wrote, was called, and this was in August of 2020 that I wrote this, It's time to wake up to the woke movement. Okay, and this was news to me in 2020. I really was unaware of that this stuff had been happening for like 10 years, but I was really, you know, busy living my life, raising children, homeschooling, taking care of my special needs daughter, you know, being a good wife. And I live in a conservative area. So a lot of this stuff was not affecting me directly. And, you know, I wasn't like watching the news a lot. I didn't know that these things were going on. So this is what I wrote. Dear friends, maybe you are like me and have not really had time to delve into what colleges are teaching students. Well, it is urgent that you do some research, because what we are seeing in the news today, young people attacking people in restaurants and yelling at people on the street and burning down buildings, is a direct result of what they have been taught, not just in college, but on many internet forums that most of us adults do not read. Our children are being brainwashed into Marxist theory, which is also called critical theory. Here is one link. So if you want to look at this article, it's blueskiesandgreenpastures.com, Wake Up to the Woke Movement. So then I have a link to an article showing some people eating dinner in Dallas, and those people were being yelled at for not supporting BLM or something. Anyway, critical theory is a false gospel. It removes our own sin and focuses on the sins of others. It promises something it cannot deliver, a heaven on earth after you revolt against this world and build a new one. It also allows you to do anything, including violence, to achieve this goal of revolution. So you may recognize some of Satan's tricks here, lies, playing on our pride, inciting hate and anger, using judgment, greed, and division. You may wonder why so many young people and adults have this was in 2020, okay? In 2020, several famous Christians made the news because they were leaving the church. They were renouncing Christianity and embracing social justice as their new religion. Well, that wasn't by accident that it got into the news. I mean, the media wanted everyone to know about these very few people who had lost their faith, because they knew that those people were very influential, especially over younger people. So, I don't want to read too much about critical theory, but the church must wake up to this false gospel of wokeness, which is really Marxism, and tell people about the real gospel. The real oppressor is our own sinful heart, and Satan is the accuser. So when we are guilty because we haven't repented, then Satan uses that against us, and he stirs up all kinds of lies, and people believe them. So because of this, Satan turned the public against Christianity, and because of the failure of individual Christians, individual people, to actually live like a Christian, they were able to smear the whole church, and people started leaving the church. And so this stuff did not happen like overnight. It's been a long time coming. But so that's where we got to the point where almost half of millennials were saying they weren't going to tell people about being a Christian. They were embarrassed to be a Christian because of all that stuff that was happening in the news. And because also these kids were going to college and their professors were very anti-Christian. In other words, these millennials, when they left their homes, when they left the protection of their little towns and their parents, their faith did not hold up. It wasn't strong enough to fight against the woke mob. And I think that's because they really had a very superficial faith and they didn't understand that this persecution was coming. So in today's blog, I share the gospel message, okay? But I tried to write it in a new way because I believe that in America, most people know a little bit about the gospel and they think they know it. Oh yeah, I know what Christians believe, you know, they say. But I don't think they really know what it, they don't. They don't know the truth, because if they did, they would probably believe differently. So let me share the essentials of what I consider to be the essentials, or at least the starting point that people sharing their faith need to know these things. Before you can share your faith, you need to know this stuff, okay? So let's start. Here is a brief summary of what the Bible teaches, and it goes way beyond John 3:16. But John 3:16 is important if you already know the whole story, then John 3:16 is a good summary. But if you don't know the whole summary, the whole story, then John 3:16 is too brief. So here is the story. Most people know about Christmas, baby Jesus, born in a manger in Bethlehem because there was no room at the inn. And poor Mary and Joseph had to go there to be counted by the evil government, right? This story is popular because of its social justice themes. And the Bible is full of social justice themes. But that's not all that the Bible is about. It's also about salvation. Jesus was not a normal baby. His father was God, and his mother was a human, young woman or teenager named Mary. Jesus was born with a real human body. He was not just a spirit body. He was a real human. But he did have the Spirit of God in him. He was a God-man, the only God-man. There's never been another God-man like him. And this was necessary because Jesus could not save the world from our sins if he was just a human. He had to be divine. Jesus grew up looking like a regular person. He had a family. He had siblings. He did chores. He learned how to be a carpenter. And, you know, he looked like a regular guy. So later, when he became a preacher, his own brothers were, you know, scoffing at him. But there were early clues that Jesus was going to be special. Even before he was born, an angel appeared to his father Joseph and said that Jesus was going to save the world from their sins. And then another angel at a separate time appeared to his mother, the pregnant Mary, and told her that her child was the Son of God. And, you know, she didn't know what that meant, but she remembered it. And then later, starting around age 12, Jesus started acting kind of funny. And one day, his parents couldn't find him, and then they found him in the temple with the priest. And he said that God was his father and he was in his father's house. But it wasn't until he was 30 years old that Jesus began his ministry, which lasted 3.5 years, which was there was a reason that it lasted that amount of time. During that time, Jesus had a single focus: to share the message of the kingdom. At no time did he seek fame, fortune, or even approval from people. He simply obeyed what his father taught him, told him to do, which was to preach. So he showed people who God was, and then he told them to repent and believe because the kingdom was at hand. Now, Jesus' message got him in trouble with the establishment because he taught that being Jewish or religious did not mean that you were actually in good favor with God. And he also showed no interest in politics, so he was a threat to the political establishment as well. To prove that he had authority from God, Jesus demonstrated supernatural power through many miracles and by unique actions such as walking through walls, disappearing from a place, and by reading people's minds. Jesus came to warn the people of that day and us that in God's eyes, all people are sinners in need of forgiveness because a day of judgment awaits us all. He came to tell us, stop being your own God, because there is another God and he made you. And he wants you to worship him and trust him and obey him, not the world. So then Jesus told about that anyone who believed would be saved. This was what we call grace through faith. And amazingly, that this was an offer to all people, not just the Jews. So anyone could be saved. Well, obviously, the Jews thought they were special and they didn't like that idea. But it turned out that God loves all of his people, and they weren't only the Jews. So grace is the message of the Bible. Grace means that you can be forgiven and only by humbly asking God to forgive you. You don't have to follow the law or do blood sacrifices or any of that because Jesus was our sacrifice. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus was the final sacrifice. We don't have to sacrifice animals to forgive our sins anymore. Jesus is our high priest now. He already did the last of the sacrifices. So after preaching to crowds, healing people, and even resurrecting the dead, and feeding thousands miraculously with just a little bit of food, he even ended a storm, and he spent time with the people that society considered to be outcast and untouchables. Jesus allowed himself to be arrested and then crucified on the cross. This was what had to happen. He knew it was going to happen, and he didn't do anything to try to stop it. He knew this was the only way that our sins could be paid for, that he could break the power of death that was controlling humans since the fall in the book of Genesis, which you should read. Because it all goes back to Genesis. So because Jesus was sinless and divine. His death was enough to pay to fulfill the law of the need for the punishment for sin. His sinless death could fulfill that for everyone. It broke the power of death. So after he died, he went in the spirit to where all the other dead people were, and he preached to them. And then, miraculously, supernaturally, divinely, by God's power, he came back to his body, and his body was revived. He was resurrected. No human has the power to do this, to go back into their body and come back to life. Only God can make that possible. So Jesus was God. Now, after that, he spent 40 days teaching his disciples what they were going to be doing after he went back to heaven. And then he left. He left earth. He is now seated with God in heaven. So Christ was born to die for our sins, but also to bring us this important information that we were not getting from the prophets and priests. A religion had been created based upon humans judging other humans, but that's not what God wanted. God is our judge, not other humans. Jesus told the disciples that he would send them a helper because they were going to need help in this hostile and deceptive world. So he sent them the Holy Spirit, and that is what everyone who believes has the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And born again simply means that you have asked God to forgive you, that you believe that Jesus died for your sins, that you believe that you're a sinner, and that you want to follow Jesus, and you are giving your life to Jesus willingly so that you can follow him. And when you do that, that's called being born again. So prior to that, you were actually dead, even though your body was alive, your spirit was dead. So when you're born again, that means now you have the Spirit of God inside of you. And that Spirit teaches you the truth. And it also warns you in times of danger. And it helps you to not sin. And it comforts you in times of trouble. So really, you can't be a Christian without the Spirit of God being inside of you. It's impossible. Unfortunately, many Christians have not been taught about the Holy Spirit, and they have not been taught about the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus. You really need to read and study the entire Bible to understand the gospel. So the problem is, as I said before, that because of the woke movement, people don't want to talk about their beliefs. So even if, you know, somehow a person is able to get saved, which is really only because that the Christians that already are saved are still sharing their faith, taking their children to church, teaching them about Jesus. So basically, if your parents are Christians and they take you to church and you become a Christian, you have to keep the ball rolling. You have to keep inviting your friends to church, teaching your children about Jesus. Keep it going. But the woke movement wants you to think that you shouldn't even teach your children your faith. Much less try to tell your friends, your unsaved friends, about Jesus. They don't even think you should talk about your faith with other Christians. Don't let them silence you. This is our job. This is the Great Commission. This is what we sign up for. When we say, yes, Jesus, save us, save me from my sins, we are also saying, and in I accept the responsibility to share this good news. The free gift comes with the responsibility. You get freedom to serve. Your freedom in Christ comes with a responsibility to follow Jesus. And that means you live the way Jesus lived, which is warning people about the judgment. He was our model. And that judgment is coming, which is why we wanted to be saved. So shouldn't we want our friends to be saved? How can we not tell them that being unsaved, they're in a great danger? Being saved means that we love our neighbor. And when we love our neighbor, that means we must warn them of danger. And their soul is in danger, just like our soul was in danger before we got saved. So if there was like a raging forest fire and it was headed your way, wouldn't you go knock on your next door neighbor's door and say, hey, wake up, a forest fire is coming? Surely you would do that. Well, guess what? Eternal fire is coming to those who are not forgiven. The lake of fire, eternal damnation is coming. Will you warn your neighbor? I hope you will. Thanks for listening to Blue Skies and Green Pastures.